The following Daf Yomi consists of several parts. It begins with the Daf Yomi recorded today, continues on with a quick review that allows you to go over the entire Daf in just 5 minutes, and then concludes with the last cycle's Daf Yomi, which you may enjoy more simply because there are different participants, has a different ambience. Enjoy!
Today's Daf in Masechet Zvachim is Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, and we're holding right at the beginning of the Gemara, following the Mishnah on the fifth line. So we started off the Mishnah by talking about cases of Shkute Chutz that should be potter on, such as Shechting the Para Aduma Chutz Migita. It's a little difficult to understand what precisely do we mean by away from the place where it's meant to be burned. I mean, was there really a particular well-defined place that we're talking about? Omer Esh Lakish, what it means is chutz mimakom abadukla. If you shechted it outside of an area that had been checked beneath it to make sure that there was no kever of tumat tahom, of a body that no one was aware of, which would possibly paradumas be makom tahor. So that is by definition chutz migitan. It's not really a physical place. It means it meets the criteria of whatever physical place it is. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that makes no sense at all, because there would be no need for bedukala, since halo kol Eretz Yisrael bedukai. The fact is that Eretz Yisrael has a cheskat kashrut that there are no kivrei metim. We'll see what that's all about. Elo amar Rabbi Yochanan kegon sheshachata lifnim min chomat Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yochanan says, actually, what we have here is a mirror image, because the whole idea of Shkute Chutz up until now, Chutz was defined as outside of Yerushalayim, outside of the Azra. But since over here, the whole point of the Para Adumah is that you're supposed to take it out, Chutz L'machana, so now the Machana becomes the Chutz. And that's the point. So you brought it inside of Chomat Yerushalayim, so now it's outside of its Machana, which is the outside of Yerushalayim. I mean, isn't there a simple explanation Rabbi Yochanan could have said? I mean, like, just say there really is the place. But what place? It could be Chutz L'choma Shelo Keneged HaPetach. I mean, we know that you have to do the Zrikat HaDam facing the Petach of the Omoy. That's why we spoke about earlier, it has to be L'Mizracha Shel Yerushalayim. So when you turn around, you're facing the west, which is the door of the Omoy, of the Heichal. So isn't that the simplest explanation? I mean, and don't try to tell me that dafka is a din in the Malkum Sreif. I mean, the truth is it could be Shechita too. Yomer Avada Barava Shachata Shalo Keneged HaPetach. It's also possible because we learned out from the Hazaya. Shenema Vishachat Vihiza. Since the Torah puts the two together, basically, I mean, almost together, Vishachat Otalefanav, and then it says, V'lakach el Hazar b'damah v'hizah. So V'shachat od alufanav seems to be in the same place as the v'hizah is going to be. So we have a hekesh, basically, that just like Hazatah is keneged HaPetach, so too is the shechita of the Par Adumah also keneged HaPetach. And we could say that what the Mishnah really means is that you do the shechita in a place which is not defined as the Makom HaZoya. Wouldn't that be good enough? It's a nice pshat. And maybe you'll tell me, okay, but look, it's two separate psukim. Perhaps Rabbi Yochanan does not hold of this hekesh. Shechita b'dolo makish. He says, that's not a hekesh. One is the shechita lefanav, and the other is what he does with his hazaya. Ah, but we know, actually, that Rabbi Yochanan does hold of this hekesh. Because v'ha itmar, sarfa shelo keneged hapetach, Rabbi Yochanan her psula, Rabbi Oshai omer kshira. If you do the sreifa, not facing the petach of the Omoed, so Rav Oshaya says it's kosher, but Rabbi Yochanan says it's possible because of this hekesh. It's basically the same hekesh. Rabbi Yochanan omer psula, because it also compares the sreifa to the hazaya. Because where it says v'yizal nochach b'nei Omoed, the next pasuk is v'sarafat aparala enough. Has to be in the same place as the hazaya. Whereas Rav Oshaya says, no, because, look, if you take a look, it has to be al pirsha yisrof. Al pirsha would have to mean makom sheporeshet limita. The Torah doesn't really care where you would burn it. But what it does care about is that it not be moved after death. So let's say that it's mefacheset. Let's say it twitches somewhere. You say, okay, well, let me bring it back to where I was prepared to do the srifa. No, you burn it there. wherever it is that it lands up dead, the place where it's Horish Lemita. So then you can't say that it's defined specifically as that place. Shom Tei Srifata. So anyway, we're left with the problem. That means that Rabbi Yochanan does hold that there's a well-defined place, which is not anywhere outside of Yerushalayim, but directly across from the Petach Ha'or. So why didn't you just say that? Why didn't you come up with the case of it's talking about Lefnim Chomat Yerushalayim to make it a mirror image? He wasn't saying that's the only case. He was saying, and not only. Look, obviously, if it was chutz l'choma in the wrong place, so then it's rechukei rachaka. Then he's brought it out further from the nochach ol moed. But you would think, okay, if I'm getting it closer to the petach of the ol moed, then maybe that's the nochach p'nei ol moed is better if I bring it inside the chomat Yerushalayim. Chomat, because it's closer to the ol moed, so to speak, the heichal in our times. So if that's the case, we should think perhaps that would be considered to be not chutz, and that's not what the pasuk is talking about. And lifnim, the point that he's making is even lifnim in achomah, even there. We're kruve korva. You might think, well, that should be kosher. Kamash malan, it's also chutz, but you're putzit. Omar mar, well, but what was that discussion about, whether Eretz Yisrael is tahora or not tahora? What is that all about? Omar lo Rabbi Yochanan, kol Eretz Yisrael b'dukayi. What are they really talking about? The machloket is the question of whether the mabul affected Eretz Yisrael. That's the question. So mar savar yarad mabul Eretz Yisrael, or mar savar lo yarad mabul Eretz Yisrael. Simply a question of whether the mabul affected Eretz. If the mabul affected Eretz Yisrael, so then you have to worry about kevarat ha'om, because it would mean that bodies were buried under gushing waters and ended up being covered over with dirt, and nobody knew about them, and therefore you have to worry about kevarat ha'om. But if there was no mabul in Eretz Yisrael, so then there'd be no problem of kever. Why would there be a problem of kevarat ha'om? Omar Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak. The truth is, both of them, in finding a source text, use the same exact pasuk for the source text. Shnei mikra echad darshu. It says, Ben Adam, emorla, speak, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yechezkel. Speak to Eretz Yisrael and tell her, At Eretz lo mitoharai, lo gushma biyom za'am. Thou art a land that is impure. Well, it seems to say it's impure. And it says, it did not rain in the day of wrath. So what are the days of wrath? What's happening here? So therefore, the question is, how do we read the pasuk? Rabbi Yochanan says, look, this is saying to Eretz Yisrael, art thou not a land that has remained always clean? Why are you making yourself filthy? Even on the day of wrath, there was no Geshem in your area. So in other words, lo yardu Geshemim. So mitoharat klum yardu alayich Geshemim beyom za'am. And Rish Lakish says, no, on the contrary. It's a statement. You are Eretz Lidim lo mitohara. And then it goes to the question, lo yardu alayich Geshemim beyom za'am. Were you too not affected by the rain of the days of wrath? Eitvei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. How can you tell me that here we have our paraduma, and you're telling me we don't have to go ahead and check, because after all, lo yarad mabul Eretz Yisrael, and it's not a problem? I mean, isn't this a little strange, the whole discussion? Didn't it say, vayachusu kol harim agvoyim ashetachat kol hashamayim? As Tosu says, what do you do with the pasuk? Pasuk seems to be saying, so much for literalists, the pasuk seems to be saying that the marvel went over the top of all of the mountains. You know, it says, you know, maybe it doesn't mean marvel itself, maybe it just means the bad air of the marvel. You know, it could mean any.
The whole world is what's implied.
No, it says, I mean, at the tops of the tallest mountains. See, that's your literal meaning? Okay. No, maybe it means in the place where there was rain. The rain covered the top of the mountains. But if there's no rain, it doesn't mean that the surface of the earth was covered with water. Fantastic, huh? All right. Anyway, getting back to the story. So this was the machloket about understanding the pasuk. Reish Lakish says, halacha l'maisa, this Mishnah in Parah. And according to you, this whole Mishnah in Parah is absolutely ridiculous. It says over there, chatzerot hayu b'Yerushalayim b'nuyot al hasela. So they had these special areas that were tumor-free areas, you know, big sign in front, tumor-free areas with that big X, and nobody could come in there if he was selling drugs or tumor. And there you had, they were built not only on stone so that nothing tummy could touch them, but the stone itself was over a hollow area, just in case there was a kever at home in the ground, so the tumor would be stopped by the insulation, the airspace, and then there was nothing could be tummy on top because it was solid stone. And what they did is they brought a special birthing hospital there, you see. Mevim Nashim Mu'ubarot. They had their babies there, and the children would never leave the tumor-free area. To Megadlot Shem B'neihem Lipara. And then, before they got old enough to become Tomei with Keri, they would bring Shvarim, Mevim Shvarim, V'Agabeim Daltot, and they had these young kids, Tinokot Yoshvim Aleim, they would take big oxen, cover the back with doors so that there would be no way that they could stretch out their hands over the Tomei Eretz. And then they had the kids sitting on them, and they would be carrying Kosot Shel Evan. Evan is not Makabel Tuma. And then they would lower that Evan into the water from where they were sitting, and they would use that water for the par. Now, according to you, there was no chashash of Kevrat HaHom. So what were they going to all of this ridiculous trouble for? That wasn't that they really thought there was Kevrat HaHom. I mean, it's all like a big show. It was actually a mala that they did Bepora, and the reason they did that, remember, was because they were Dafka, were Metame the Kohen that was Osik in the Pora, because they wanted to be Motzimi Liban Shal Tzedukim Shari Omrim, the Mu'arave Shemesh Haitana Aseit, and they wanted to prove that it didn't need Harav Shemesh. So they used Dafka Tvuyom, but because of that, they were afraid that people would be Mezalzel in the Parah. So Mimela, they made all of these fantastic Chumras in the Parah that it should be completely tumor-free. Obviously, it is not coincidental that it's Dafka in the Parah, where it's Matame, the Matar Torim, and it's Matar, the Tameim. I mean, this is a classic kind of thing you'd expect with the Parah Duma. If it's going to be crazy, it should be consistently crazy. So anyway, you see, here we are, and clearly there was a Kevrat HaHom, Tainiz Reish Lakish, which Rabbi Yochanan says it's not nothing with Kevrat HaHom, it has to do with the Mala. So, I mean, is there a chance that one time in history some murderer buried his victim there and didn't tell anybody, and then himself died and nobody knows? And I, yeah, of course it is. So, okay, so he made a Mala. But it certainly has nothing to do with the Mabul. They once found a buried body inside one of the lishakot where they kept the wood for the mizbeach. And based on that event, Bikshuli exhort to Mal Yerushalayim, saying, look, we've obviously made a mistake in assuming that Yerushalayim was Torah, and we should be gazer that anything that wasn't checked is tummy. Amad Rabbi Yeshua Raglav V'amar Lo Bushauch L'maylano. What kind of nonsense is this? All of the Dorot are happy with Yerushalayim being tummy, and all of a sudden we at Tahar, and we've reached a new level in which we, 1,000 years later, have decided that David HaMelech and Shlomo, whatever, it's all the place is tummy. It's an outrage. Al Ir Avotenu. Well, I mean, after all, where are the dead of the Mabul, huh? Even they didn't get here, is what he's trying to say, apparently. Where are the dead of Nebuchadnezzar? Oh, I mean, if he said that, isn't he trying to say, Lav Lameimer de Lo Havo? Look, there's the one place on earth where there were no Mabul victims. And I suppose there were no Nebuchadnezzar victims. I don't know what he's saying. He says, where are the dead of the Mabul? Where are the dead of Nebuchadnezzar? I mean, we know that not too many gentle soldiers entered into Yerushalayim at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. So what happened to Harugei Nebuchadnezzar? Sochinami del Havu? Is that what you're trying to say? Obviously, Elahavu. Point is that he was saying there were so many bodies here and they were all removed at the time in order to make sure that Yerushalayim would be Tahora. And you make a joke out of all of that effort over the generations to make certain that Yerushalayim, so because they missed one body, well, because they're the entire Yerushalayim, it's an outrage. That's what he was saying. Elahavu panina. Therefore, I say the contrary. In the same way that they took away the bodies of Nebuchadnezzar, that's what he means when he's talking about the Metei HaMabul. Despite the fact that you would think we would be finding bodies all the time, clearly there's a missing link. Must be because they were mufnim. So, that's all very nice, Rish Lakish, but then it boils down to the same issue. If you're ready to agree that the bodies were removed, so then, for all intents and purposes, you could say the same as Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Yarav Mabo, because they removed the bodies, no? You're saying that we have to worry about a makom that is not baduk for kevrat ha'om, and you turn right around to explain the words of Rabbi Yeshua as meaning, well, there is no kevrat ha'om. If there is no kevrat ha'om, then you're undoing your own statement. That has to be bodik for kevrat ha'om. If they took away the bodies, and they took them away. No. They took them away from Yerushalayim. That's what Rabbi Yeshua was talking about. Here, the makom ha'parah was b'chutz Yerushalayim. Indeed, it works out beautifully, now the language. Because what he was actually saying, Rabbi Yochanan, note, he said, Mikula, the whole Eretz Yisrael is bodur from kevrat ha'om. Mashma, indeed, that Rish Lakish was saying, no, it's only Yerushalayim. So the makom of the Srifat HaPara is outside of Yerushalayim, says Rabbi Yochanan. What do you mean? The whole Yerushalayim is. The whole Eretz Yisrael is bodur. The language works out very nicely according to this approach. So he's saying, Mikula Eretz Yisrael lo ifni. Now, Ikini Amri, others say that exactly the opposite, which makes more sense about that. Rish Lakish asked this to Rabbi Yochanan. How could Rabbi Yoshua say, Ayei meitei mabul, ayei meitei Nebuchadnezzar, unless what he was trying to say is, despite the fact that one would have expected to find so many bodies, nonetheless we never do, and therefore that shows that they must have been mufta. I mean, because that's the comparison between Meitei Mabul and Meitei Nebuchadnezzar. Otherwise, he'd be arguing in two directions. Where are the Meitei Mabul that never got here? Where are the Meitei Nebuchadnezzar that got here, but we moved? I mean, that doesn't sound reasonable, does it? So, my love, says Rabbi Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, Midahani Havu, since nobody's arguing that Nebuchadnezzar didn't affect Eretz Yisrael, so Haninami Havu, don't argue and say that the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. Cheapo Raya. Maybe that's the whole point. Where the Metei Mabul, where God made certain to see to it that there would be no Metim. And what happened to where there were Metim and they even moved them away. And you come around and counteract God and all of the efforts of the generations to make Eretz Yisrael Tahor. It's an outrage. I mean, Yerushalayim Torah. It's an outrage, says Rabbi Yeshua. What's wrong with understanding it that way? No, this doesn't prove anything to me, says Rabbi Yochanan. Eitvei. It says in the Pasuk, Mikol Asher B'charava Meitu. Everything on earth died. Now, according to me, says Rish Lakish, Rishalayim L'didida Mino Yarad Mabul. I say the Mabul affected Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the Pasuk makes perfectly good sense. Everything on earth died. According to you, why would everything on earth die? Lididach amai meitu. No, they died because of the heat. Since they had destroyed themselves using hot semen. So barotchin idona, the water that came from the marble was hot, just in order to bring a midak and egg and midah, and to boil them up. So too, so it means that even if you weren't directly affected by the water of the marble, you would be affected by the heat. So it's still true to say, Kol Asher B'Charava Meitu. And I could see that, says Reb Chista, from the word Vayashoku Hamayim. After all, does it not say V'Chamat HaMelech Shachacha after he kills Vashti? Over there we're talking about cooling off, are we not? So, therefore you see that the meaning of the word Shachacha Vayashoku Hamayim is to cool down, not simply to go lower. Eitvei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, Ikri Amri rather. So some say that this actually was a machlokes, the other direction, Orion the other direction, in which Rabbi Yochanan says to Rish Lakish, how come it says, Mikol Asher B'Charava Meitu? According to you, there was no Charava. You say the whole earth was covered by the marble. According to me, the whole earth wasn't covered by the marble. So Mikol Asher B'Charava Meitu makes sense. Even the things that were on dry land died. But according to you, what's the point of mentioning dry? There was no dry land. So I say, Dibidamina lo yarad mabul Eretz Yisrael. Mishum achi, we could use the word charava. But according to you, there was no charava. You claim that the mabul covered the whole earth? Oh, that just means that which was once charava. No, I mean, so what's the point? Well, obviously, if we're talking about a mabul, I mean, you don't mention charava. No, because it's trying to make a point. Kol Asher B'Charava Meitu is to teach me Rav Chista. The Omer of Chista, B'Dor HaMabul, Lo Nigzera Gezera Al Dagim Shebayam. that the point is only land animals who actually will reproduce through mating, they actually died. But dagim who don't mate, they weren't mate. Shemi kolah shebachrav metu v'lo dagim shebayam. It's a bishleb l'mad yomer lo yarad mabul eretz Yisrael. Hainu dekam rima. Listen. I mean, we know that there's the Re'im. I mean, the Re'im is 3 miles high, you know. I mean, and what would you do with Paul Bunyan? I mean, where was Paul Bunyan during this time? So if you have a Re'im, so if the Mabul is not meant to be taken literally, that it went everywhere, so the Re'im could have been standing in the place where the Mabul didn't come down. So the Re'im was standing in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's how the Re'im survived. But according to the Ma'adi Amar, that the Re'im, that the Mabul was Yarad, even to Eretz Yisrael, where did that poor Re'im, whoops, there goes a million foot, high Re'im, boom, boom. That got rich. Omer Rabbianai. Well, what they did was they took the little baby Re'ims into the Teva, and then they grew afterwards, but you're right, you couldn't have an adult Re'im in the Teva. The Guriot Technisu B'Teva, I thought Rabba Bar Bar Chana said that he saw a little tiny baby Re'im. It was only one day old. Chazili or Zila de Reima Bat Yuma. And it was just a baby, so it was only the size of Har Tabor. You know, now, Har Tabor is 40 parsaot. You know, that's you figure 120 kilometers wide. And Mashka de Tzavari, I mean, just the place where the little baby, you know, would put down its head where you could stroke it. That was basically 12 kilometers, Marbata, the Resha, Parsa, Palga. I mean, so that's how thick its neck was, the place where it started to skip. The Mashka de Tzavari, the length of its neck was 12 kilometers. Marbata, the Resha, place where it puts its head down to stroke, you know, that's 4.5 kilometers, Parsa, Palga. And you know what? That little baby, it defecated, and I didn't want to change the diaper because there was so much of it. It was Sochar Yardana. The whole Jordan River got piled back.
Brontosaurus, exactly.
Nah, Brontosaurus is a baby.
Small one.
Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Well, I guess they just put its head in the table, you know. But I thought, Rabbi Yo, how did he fit the head in the teva? Well, my mom, I bought the Resha Parsul Palga, that little teva, well, 50 amot, I mean, come on. Well, maybe just the tip of its nose, you know, just to get some air, you know. So the Rosh Chotmo, they put into the teva. But I thought Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said there was no Mabul in Eretz Yisrael anyway, so why is he arguing about where to put the rain? Well, he's saying if you hold like Rish Lakish, you know, you could always figure out a way for the rain to survive. I mean, maybe it's the first skin diver, you know, put a little pack of oxygen on it. But wait a minute, the teva's going up and down in the waves. Wee, what is the poor baby rain going to do? Every time the teva falls, out goes its nose, it doesn't have any oxygen, what's it going to do? Sokasagya teva. Ah, that's no problem, says Rish Lakish. They tied its horns to the teva so it could go up and down, keeping its nose inside the oxygen tank. But I thought that it was boiling hot.
I mean, does all of this have some sort of Kabbalistic...
Yeah, of course, it's all Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Amar of Chista. But I thought it was boiling hot there. Anche dor amabo, brotchin kilkalu, brotchin nidono, you said. No. You could ask the same question about the teva. How did the teva not boil up? So, v'latayimich teva ha'echisagya. Besides, what would Paul Bunyan do? What about Og Melech Abosha? Hey, Chakoy, where's poor Og? You're telling me he was getting a hot dog this whole time? Ela nesna selahem. It's got to be anyway that the whole thing is miraculous. Nitztanu b'tzidei ha'teva. Water that came up to the teva cooled off. Now, let's, getting back to Rish Lakish. Even if Rish Lakish holds that the Mabul was Yoret Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you have to be Choshish outside of Yerushalayim for Kever HaTahom, but the bodies did not remain in Eretz Yisrael, even according to him. Halo Pash. The Omer Rish Lakish, Loma Nikra Shema Mitzula. Why do we find that in the Pasuk we refer to Bavel as the Mitzula? Omer Litzulach Arvi. So to tell the Mitzulah, where the Targum over there is, tell Bavel to just go and to be destroyed. Because Ko Meitei Mabul Nitztalalu L'Sham. Because all in the end, as the waters receded, dragged down all the bodies down to the lower spot. The lower spot was Bavel. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Lominik Rishma Shinar, Shekomete Mabu Nina Rusham. Same idea. Roll down there. So anyway, according to Rish Lakish, there should be no chashash of Kevrat Ha'om. Oh, come on. I mean, Yev Shabilo Yidbeko. I mean, there's got to be some fossils left behind, you know, for all those lovely creations to worry about. You know, that must be from the Mabul. That's always the answer. So there's... So therefore, there's got to be some bodies that were left in the sediments. Therefore, even according to Rish Lakish, although most of the bodies may have rolled away into the Kevrat Ha'om, but, and may have rolled away rather into Bavel, but there were some that were going to get stuck in the mud. That's why they call them that. The kind of guys don't wake up for Daf Yomi, they call them, you know, sticks in the mud. So those guys, they remained behind. Don't, you shouldn't even sit next to Richie. He came half an hour before you. You should be ashamed to sit in the presence of such wonder.
Today was a bad day.
Fine. Anyway, continuing on in this vein, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Lama Nikra Shema Shinar, by the way, this taina of Eif Shar Delo Yidbeku is fascinating because it's a Dawkins taina against the creationist solution that all of the different levels of sedimentation could all be defined by the mouth. How is that? How did everything get separated out? Very simple. The simplest organism, they were on the bottom, they had no way to survive. They don't know the Gemara that the fish weren't fed, you know, so that where could they run? They couldn't run up to the top of the mountain, you know. So they just died in their place. And the mammals, they ran away to high land, so that only occurs on higher sediments. The humans are smart, so they were able to, like, build boats or whatever. They got to the very top sediment. It's time is what you're telling me, that not one would die in its place. You can't find a single mixture in all sedimentation of a higher level that should be found in a low, ever. Because if you did, it would destroy the entire structure of all the geological finds. So that's what you're telling me. Here the Gemara says, Yev Shadolo Ipikit. Exactly. Very interesting. Rabbi Abba. Lamanik Rashima Shinar, another lashon for the word Shinar, is Shemina Eret Ashireha. It doesn't allow the rich to retain their money because they're not Merakim al Abriot, the Gemara says elsewhere. They don't give tzedakah properly. What do you mean? But Kachazina, the Havel, we do see that there are rich people in Bavel, there's rich families. Yeah, but never born three generations. It's not Kayem for three generations. They're all nouveau rich, you know. So the nouveau rich are Borough Park, basically. So they're all the Tlata Dari Lomash, Omrabami. Kol ha'ochel mi'afrash ha'bavel, kilo ochel b'sar avotav. If you eat any of that dirt from Bavel, you might as well be eating your ancestors. All meite mabel ninarula sham. Actually, Marsha explains elsewhere that the Bavel, they weren't properly makbid on siyun varot, farim, because the in Eretz Yisrael, where they were makbid on tuma, and kohanim had to be careful about for truma and so on. So they had actually, as we know, court appointees that they would go out, they would pour a seed over all the area where they were kvarim, but above them, they were never makbid. So you could sit up digging up bavel, and little do you know, you're swallowing your own DNA. Kilo ocher bazar vada v'yechomrim kilo ocher shkatzim v'ramashim. Every possible, it's a concentrated land of every possible filthy thing that was ninarsham from the mabul and got buried. So it's much more organic matter mixed in the bavel dirt than anywhere else. Okay, next thing we said was, if we take a look at the continuation of the Mishnah, after talking about the parat chatat, we talked about v'chein seyir mishtaleh. So the seyir mishtaleh shikriv b'chutz patur, and the proof was el petach ol moed lo hevio. So only something that is ra'ui lavo el petach ol moed, but something which is ein ra'ui lavo el petach ol moed is not included. So remember the pasuk there. It's petach ol moed lo hevio lahakriv korban la'Hashem is where we learned it from. So then dam yechashev v'nichrat. Now, the problem is that we have a completely different, what appears to be a completely different source for this whole discussion, seems to undo everything that we've been talking about. In the Torat Kohanim, it says, O Korban. Now that Korban, is that possible? Lakriv Korban Lashem. Petachol Moed. Loyviyo Lakriv Korban Lashem. So the Brita there, the beginning of the Brita, which we don't quote over here, says, from here you learn that only if you shecht a korban b'chutz are you chayev, but not if you shecht chulin bifnim, which would be the opposite. We know it's usur to be makas chulin la'azara. Nonetheless, this is coming to tell me that the shechita of chulin in a mokum of a korban is not included in this lav and karet. That's what the word korban is. Now, continues the bride to the Torat Kohanim, or perhaps we should be Dorish, korban is coming to include lakriv korban, meaning anything which would be called a korban, even though it's not normally what you think of in terms of a mizbeach korban, let's say, even kachibet kabayit, where we know by the shalal of Midian. So it says, v'nikravet korban Hashem, and over there it's talking about jewelry and bracelets and stuff. I mean, clearly that's berek habayit, and that's called korban. So maybe it's coming to tell me that anything at all, even if it belongs to berek habayit, should be included in the din of shkute chutz. Maybe that's the point. Talmud lomar, that's why we need to go to the words ve'el petach o'el mo'ed lo hevi o, dafka mishiro ui lavo lo'o po'el mo'ed, yatzu koche berek habayit she'inan ru'uyin le'petach o'el mo'ed. Now, here's where it gets dicey in terms of our limud of the Sura Mishtaleach. Continues the Braita, otziat elu she'inan ru'uyin, shall I then only exclude the above, the berek habayit, which is bichlal not ro'i le'petach o'el mo'ed, and there it was referring to Bali Mumin and so on and so forth, all the things that were psulan too early. But the Sayyur Mishtaleach, after all, is Ru'i Lava Petach Omoid. Because our Mishnah learned Dafka the Sayyur Mishtaleach is excluded from Petach Omoid. And here it says, if that was the Makar, then it would have included the Sura Mishtaleach. Direct contradiction, can't get a bigger contradiction, saying Beferish. If the only Makar is Petach HaOmoi, then the Sura Mishtaleach should be included, not excluded. And our Mishnah is saying Petach HaOmoi excludes the Sura Mishtaleach. So continues the Braita. So how do I know not to be Mechayim on Shkut Echutz on the Sura Mishtaleach, which is, after all, yes, Ro'ui Lavo LePetach HaOmoi? Talmud Lomar therefore continues the Pasuk of Petach HaOmoed Lo Hevi'o Lakriv Korban LaHashem. LaHashem means Dafka, that which was Ra'ui to be brought LaHashem, not LaAzazel. Lo Tzi Sa'ir Mishtaleach She'no Miuchad LaHashem. Now how do you explain that? It's exactly the opposite of the Mishnah. Lo Kash. Kan Kodem Hagrala Mekan Liachra Hagrala. Look. If it's before the Hagrala that defines which one is Lashem and which one is La'azazel, so then would it be Ro'ui Lavo Petach HaOmoed? Yes. But is it Miuchad Lashem? No, because it's still up in the air. Maybe, but it's certainly not Miuchad, because one of them is going to be La'azazel. I don't know which one. But I still definitely have to bring it into the Petach HaOmoed. Why do I have to bring it into the Petach HaOmoed? Because I have to do the Hagrala. The Hagrala itself, I need to bring it in. So don't tell me this is not Ro'i LePetach HaOmoed. Therefore, the Braita, which wants to discuss the dinner Shkut Echutz on the Sura Mishtaleach before Hagrala, cannot bring it from Petach HaOmoed. So it needs another limud, which is Lashem. However, the Mishnah, which was talking about with the Sura Mishtaleach, was already on its way, La'azazel, and the guy who's bringing it out says, Ah, La'azazel, let me check it here. Such a long way, you know. So you might think that over there, indeed, you know, he would be chayev. Comes along the Mishnah, now that I know, because it's not even Ro'i LePetach HaOmoed at that point. That's the idea. Kan kodem hagrala, says the Gemara, even after hagrala, you're going to have to bring it in to the Petach HaOmoed, because you need to do the vidui before your sholeach at Lazazel. And the vidui needs to be done bifnim. So how can you say it's not Ro'i LePetach HaOmoed? You're telling me the Mishnah after Hagrala would call it Eino Ro'i LePetach HaOmoed. But by the standards of the
What? The stanzas of Torat Kohanim, you're telling me Ohel Moed, Petach Ohel Moed would be for any purposes, for the Hagralah. So how about for the Vidui? So it still wouldn't be a sufficient lima to learn how to Enaroy Le Petach Ohel Moed. You see? So that can't be the solution, because that would also have to come from Lashem. Hayika Vidui. Elomer of money lokasha. Kan kodem vidui, kan li achar vidui. You're right. We should change that. And the difference between the Mishnah and the Brayta and the Torat Kohanim is the question of whether it's before or after vidui. If it's before vidui, then it's still roil petach ohel moed. It's have to look to Lashem to be mamayit. If it's after vidui, then I can be mamayited from in a roil petach ohel moed. Exactly, that's the kasha. If you do it, it's done after Agralah, so then how can you tell me that the point of difference, the line that separates it from Petach Ohel Moed and non-Petach Ohel Moed, is the Agralah? It's really the vidui, because it still needs to be brought in for vidui.
That time they know it's for Azazel.
Of course, you have to know it's Lashem, you have to know it's Azazel. There was a vidui on both. Excellent. It is now time. My chutz migita, Omar Reish Lakish chutz mimakom abadukla from kever tohom. Omar lo Rabbi Yochanan, what kind of business is that? Alo kol Eretz Yisrael badukai. El Omar Rabbi Yochanan go to shochta lefnim michomat Yerushalayim. Why do you have to go so far? I mean, why not just say she shochta chutz lechoma, but she lo kineged apeta. The Omer of Adar Barava Shokta Shaloka Negada Petach Pisulash and Emma Vishakat Vihiza Mahaza Ataka Negada Petach Avshachita Ataka Negada Petach Vahite Medolo Makish. We know for a fact that Rabbi Yochanan is Makish. Via Itmar Sarfa Shaloka Negada Petach Rabbi Yochanan Psula Raboshayam Akshay Rabbi Yochanan Psula the Hekesh Visaraf Iza Rabbi Oshayam Aksheral Pirsha Yisrof, meaning Makom Sheporeshet Limita, Shamte Srefata. But anyway, meanwhile, clearly Rabbi Yochanan does hold it. But Amri, Lomi Boikom, obviously you could have said that. But I mean, we want to say even more than that. Lomi Boikom, Adir Chukei Rachaka. What Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, Afil Lifnim in Achoma, which is vis a vis the Petach Ohel Moed, even closer to Kruvei Korva. So maybe it's even kosher in that case. Ematit Kasher. What are they talking about, really? Mar Savar Yarad Mabul Eretz Yisrael. Umar Savar Lo Yarad. Amre Nagbar Yitzhu Shrei Mikrech Adarsh. Ben Adam. Amor La At Eretz Lo Mito Harai. Lo Gushma Biyom Zaam. Rabbi Yochanan Savar, it begins with a Temah. Atmuya mitamekra, Eretz Yisrael milo mitu harat, klum yardu alayar gishamim biyom zam. That's the logushma. Whereas Reish Lakish says it means exactly the opposite. Kipashtei, Eretz lima tu harat. After all, milo yardu alayar gishamim biyom zam. Eitve Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan, chatserot ayu birushalayim benuyot agabe asela. V'tachteihem chalul mipnei kever ha'tom, u'mevi'in nashim u'ubarot v'yodot v'gadlot sham b'neihem lapara, u'mevi'in shvarim agabeihem dlatot v'tinokot yoshvim aleihem, v'kosot shalevin b'yadan, u'milu v'yashvu b'mekoman, omri v'nei b'reidu Yeshua. That's all a show. It's ma'ala asu b'para. Eis v'rebi yogan Reish Lakish, pa'am achat matzu atzamot b'lishkat dir ha'itzim, וביקשו לגזור תומה ירושלים, עמד רבי ישור רגלה ואמר, לא בושלך למים לנו, שנגזור תומה וירבותינו. איי מתי מבול, איי מתי נבוך הנצר, מרקמה, אחי, לב למימר דו לא אהבו. Oh, and I guess the time it means הרוגי נבוך הנצר were לא אהבו. אלא אהבו ופנינו. The same thing is true about the מבול. אהבו ופנינו. Well, Yafno, Ayifno, I mean, so it's the same thing. There are no Kebarat homes, right? Well, Nehi de Ifni mi Yerushalayim. Mikula Eretz Yisrael lo Ifni. Ikeni Amri et Veresh Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, the other way around. And I would assume, says Rosh Lakish, by love, Midahano Havo Aninami Havo. Nu, Midi Ayre, Akadita, Akadita. Eitve, Mikol Asher Becharava Metu, Nabishlem, the Didi Damino Yarad Babul, Eretz Israel. Mishumachi Metu, says Rosh Lakish. But Ladidok, Rabbi Yochanan, why would they die if they didn't drown? They died from the heat. Rukista, the Om Rukista, Barotchin Kirkalu, Barotchin Nidonu, Tiktivakava Yashoku Hamai, Uktivata Vichamat Hamelech Shachacha, which clearly means it cooled in reference to Chema, Cham Shach. Ikri Amre, Eitve Reb Yochanan, looks the other way around. It says, Mikola Shebacharava Meitu, I mean, Bishla Bididid, I mean, a lawyer Radma Buler Tisrol, so then you could say Becharava, but according to you, who take everything so literally, there was no Charava. I mean, the Charava Shaitami Kora. So what's the point? The point is, Amai Kora the Charava Kerfista, the Amar Fista, Vedor Hamabu, Lodig Zerag Zeral Dagim Shabayam, Shinema Mikola Shebecharava Meitu, Velod Dagim Shabayam. To which then Laman Yomar Lo Yarad Mabul Eretz Yisrael Hainu the Kamri Ma'atam. Laman Yomar Yarad, where do the poor aim stand? Rima Echaka, Om Rabbiana, I guess they just took the little babies into the teva. Hi, Omar Rabba Barbara Kanula Didi Chazuli Yorzila the Rima Bat Yuma, Vavi Kahar Tabor, Vahar Tabor Kamahavi Arboim Parse, Mashka de Tzavore, Talata Parse, Marbata de Reisha, Parsu Palga, Rama Kaba Vesacha Yardana, Om Rabbi Yochanan, I guess just Rosho Ichmi Solateva. Yeah, you just said Barbata Reshe Parsapaga. I meant Rosh Chotmo Ichmi Solateva. But I thought Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said Lo Yaran Mabul Eretz Yisrael. No, he's saying, I'll leave it at Reish Lakishka Omar. I, Vakasagya Teva, up and down, and what's a poor Reim gonna do? Omar Reish Lakish, Karnav Kashru B'teva. The Omar Chista. Dor Hamabul. Anshe Dor Hamabul Brotchin Kilkalu Brotchin Idonu. V'latayme Teva Echisagya. And what about poor Og Melech HaBashan? Echakoy. Elanes Nas Elam Shinitztananu. B'tzidea Teva. Well, the Reish Lakish, he named Yarad Mabul Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, he himself is made of that nobody's remained. Halo Pash. The Omer Reish Lakish, Lama Nikrishma Mitzula, Shekom Meitei Mabul Nitztalalu Lasham. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Lama Nikrishma Shinar, Shekom Meitei Mabul Ninaru Lasham. Well, it's still, Yev Shad Lo Idbaku. Om Rabbi Abba, Lama Nikrishma Shinar, Shemina Eret Ashirea, because they're not merachim al abriot. V'okachazina da'avu. Yeah, but tlata dare lomash. Om rabami kolo ochil mi afrash avavel, ki ilo ochil besar avotav. Tanya nami achi, kolo ochil mi afrash avavel, ki ilo ochil besar avotav, v'yesh omrim ki ilo ochil shikatsim v'rimashim. Sa'ir ha-mishtalayach, v'ramini. O korban, nu! Shomea ani afil kotshei berek habayit shriku korban. Shinema v'nikra v'et korban Hashem. Talmud lomar v'ol petach ol moed lo evi yot. Mi shirovi lo v'ol petach ol moed. Yotze kotshei berek habayit sheinan ru'uyin. Otzi et elu sheinan ru'uyin. V'lo otzi et sa'ir ha-mishtalayach. Shirovi lo v'ol petach ol moed. Talmud lomar l'Hashem. Lo otzi sa'ir ha-mishtalayach sheinu miyuchad l'Hashem. Ah, that's no problem. Lokasha can't go to my grotta, where indeed it's still roi. Lavo petachol moit, for that I need Lashem. But our mission is talking about Lachra grotta. It's no longer roi. No, sure it is. Lachra grotta, it's also roi. What about the vidui? El omer of money, Lokasha. Kan kodem vidui, kan li achar vidui.
Following is the daf from the previous daf Yomi cycle.
Well, we finished the Mishnah yesterday, or shall I say all of the Mishnayos yesterday, and we are now up to the Gemara, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah began with the din of Sreifas Paras Chatos, which was the Parah Aduma, Chutz Migita. And that the question was, is that considered to be the equivalent of Shritas Chutz? It's not included, because it's not really the Pesach or Omer. But what exactly is the Gita? Why would we have a Gat? A Gat implies a place that's hollowed out and smoothed down. Why would we have that? So, my chutz mi Gita, Omer Ishotish chutz mi makom habadukla. Basically, we would check out an area and do, say, radar scanning and sort of make sure there was no kever underneath that area, because that's obviously very marked on the tire of the Parah Aduma, and that place became the Mokom HaMiyuchad for the Srifat HaParah. Malo Rabbi Yochanan Valo Kol Eretz Yisrael Bedukahi. What would be the point of that if we already have radar scans of the whole country? And so the entire place, we'll see later on in the Gemara what that's actually. No, sonar doesn't help on that. But yeah, they do radar scanning even of other planet surfaces. So the question over here is, as we'll see later on, whether there's a chash of tumas tahum in Eretz Yisrael. That has to do with the marbles we'll get to later today. Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the meaning of chutz migita doesn't mean literally a god. It means the area which is within the parameters that allow you to be able to be mekayim the mitzvahs of chutz lamachane and the vihizar kvati vehechel and so on. And it's referred to, we'll see later on. First, we think it just means in terms of mechitzos. And the chiddush over here is kigon sheshachta lifnim min hachoma. So it was shechted within the chomat Yerushalayim. And we know from the pasuk, as we darshan, it has to be chutz of shalosh machanot. So the chiddush over here is that even though it's sort of shvitas chutz in reverse, it's a shvitas pnim, and it's supposed to be blocked in the outside, if you brought it in the inside, that's not considered to be chutz l'mechitzata, which normally would be the case, but it's not really the Pesach HaRamot. Why did he have to say that? Why didn't he say it outside of the parameters of the Re'iyas HaPesach? I mean, he could have said, even if it was chutz l'choma, and it was shelo keneged HaPetach, because after all, we know that the Torah says that it has to be the Hizah Kineged HaPetach. So, doesn't that mean that it's, if it isn't shechted in that place, Saruf in that place, that it would be outside of the given place? Even if it was outside of Komat Yerushalayim, no? So let Rabbi Yochanan just have said very simply that it was Shelo Kineged HaPetach of the Beit HaMikdash. Because as Rav Ada Bar Ava said, Shachatach Shelo Kineged HaPetach Psula. We know that the Shechita has to be facing the Petach of the Beis HaMikdash, Shenemar, Vishachat Vihiza. So just like it says by the Hazayah, it has to be Leneged, the Pesach. So Ma Hazatah Keneged HaPetach, Ap Shechitatah Keneged HaPetach. Which would mean that that's also part of its, so to speak, Mechitzos. Vechitah Medulom Makish, maybe you'll say, well, maybe Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with that Hekesh of comparing the Shechita to the Hazah. But we know for a fact that he does, because V'ayitmar, Sarpashelo Keneged HaPetach, if you would burn the Parah Aduma, not facing the Petach of the Melech, not the Shechita. Even if you would burn it, Shelo Keneged HaPetach, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Psula, he says that's possible, and so that's a very easy way to explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying, okay, if you possible it by burning it not within that small angle, where it could still see the Petach of the Yom Ha'oed of the Beis HaMikdash. So then, I might think you're chayev on the equivalent of halat chutz. Kamashman that you're not. Why did he have to talk about taking it into the Komat Yerushalayim? I mean, that's not the issue here, is it? And Reish Lakish is the one who says, it's ksheira. Rabbi Yochanan says clearly that he does hold then of the Hekesh. Because, after all, it says, El Michutz L'machaneh B'Shachat, says Reish Lakish. I mean, you could check it anywhere, Chutz L'machaneh. The Itmar, Sarfa, I mean to skip all of that. Sorry. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Psula because v'sorach v'hiza. So the Sreifa is the same place where the Hazar is. Rabbi Oshi Amar look Sheira because it does say Al Pirsha Yisrov. So Al Pirsha can be understood not with its own stomach contents, but rather Al Pirsha, the place in which it is Poreshet Limita, where it dies. So it could have been checked in one place, and then it could have been befacheset outside of that angle. And that doesn't matter. It's wherever it was Al Pirsha, wherever it died, it's okay to be sore with it. So Mokum Shaporeshet Limita, Shamtei Srefata, so the Torah now is no longer marked that it has to be in the place where you would do the Hazayah. So Rabbi Yochanan clearly argues on that. He says, it has to be within that exact angle when you do the Sreifa. So why did he have to say that the Chiddush in the Mishnah is someone who was Sorek B'toch Yerushalayim when he could have said even outside of the angle? No, I said, come on, he didn't mean that that's the only case. He was saying even. Lomi Boyka, what does he say? Lomi Boykutz V'choma D'ruchuke Rachaka. Forget about it. Okay, Chutzah Choma, where he takes it out, he's taking it away from the place that is Mekudesh. But even if he brought it with Phenimena Choma, and over there it's Kruve Karva, I might have thought it was kosher. That's the point. Ematit Kasher. So he's trying to say that the Mishnah that says your potter on Shreifas Chutz for the Shreifas Apora is discussing a case even where it was Patoch HaKoma and therefore Pasol, and that's what I want you to know. Don't think they can make it more kosher by bringing it closer to the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash. Kamash Talanda, that too is Pasol, and that nonetheless there is no Shkoach. And once you're standing there, you're present another group of checks. So, Rabbi Yochanan certainly would say that the mission would make perfectly good sense Chutzokomat Yerushalayim and outside of the angle. That's not a problem. Omar, now let's get back to that strange conversation between Rabbi Yochanan and about radar scanning and our thing. I mean, hello, call Eretz Yisrael Beduka. See, he says all of Eretz Yisrael is booked. But my commitment again. What the machlok is between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan as to whether Eretz Yisrael requires a bedikah to make sure that there are no kvorim underneath the place where you might be shafting or burning the poradum. Very simple. Marsavar yorad mabul Eretz Yisrael umarsavar lo yorad. The machlokus is simply whether Eretz Yisrael was affected by the mob. So if you hold Eretz Yisrael was affected by the Mabul, and you have a lot of dead people that were churned up in the mud of the Mabul, and would be found, if you dig down, you would find all types of skeletal remains. And then therefore you want to avoid that for the Par Aduma. Mashayim King, if you hold there was no Mabul in Eretz Yisrael, as Reish Lakish is timing, as Riyokas timing, that will call Eretz Yisrael Bedukahi. Why in the world would we think that there would be a kever to stam under? I mean, why should there be? What's the point of being Marxic based in Yerushalayim? Well, they would have to be afraid you'd come in contact with it. Maybe at the time of the Mabul, everybody was called Bnei Adam. It could be that the Zman Hazel only would say Atem Purim Adam, but. Maybe Mass Summers before, well, I mean, that's already a whole question, but it got me to 2 months prior to the retroactive Abba.
Yeah.
But why should we be gracious in this place? We have a klal, lo marzikin, you see. I mean, marzik something, unless there's a reason to. But I mean, if there was a general extinction that went on, and there should be bodies all over the place, then the Nothing Army would have to check. So if you hold there was no such general extinction, so fine, people died, they were buried in cemeteries, and why should we think that they're dead all around? It's interesting that both of them, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, based their svara on a pasuk. The question is how to read the pasuk. Here in Yecheskel, where probably the worst things that could possibly be said about Yerushalayim are said right after the whole parsha of Yerushalayim is tabled to Abotzeh, you know, with all of the terrible things about Yerushalayim. So then it says, Ben Adam Amorla, At Eretz Lo Mitu Haragi, Lo Gushma B'Yom Zam. So Rabbi Yochanan says, that's the trap, that the Navi is supposed to say to Eretz Yisrael, were you not a land that was kept tahor? That the rains of the Mabul, when the rest of the world was beyond Zam, when God was angry, Logu Shama, you weren't affected, and therefore you should be on a higher Madrega. And yet, look how you behave. That's how to read it. So it's Atmui Metamikra. The Pasuk is questioning. Eretz Yisrael, Milo Mituharat, are you not Becheskas Tyras? Kum yardu alayach gishamim b'yom zahan? Whereas Reish Lakish is saying, no, on the contrary, it's saying, well, you always were a rotten place filled with dead people. And so it's a kipashe. Eretz lo mituhara, milo yardu alayach gishamim b'yom zahan. What do you think you're so great? That you weren't affected by the marble, and I've got a Baruch Hu couldn't do the same to you again. There's nothing special about you. Okay, there's two different ways of reading the pasuk. If according to you, there's no reason to be choshesh that Eretz Yisrael has kfarim, how do you explain this wild idea of the famous brisa? Actually, we find really the same things, so not exactly this lashon in the Mishnah in Parah, that chatzerot ayu b'Yerushalayim b'nuyot agabei sela, that there were special chatzerot that were built on top of virgin rock, where the tachteim chalul mipnei kever hatahom, and we had underneath them hollows, so that even if there would be something buried underneath, there would be airspace, which would create an ohel, which would prevent the tumah from coming up, so that anyone that was born on that particular chatzer, as long as they didn't walk off of that chatzer, would never have a chashash of being tamei the mate. I mean, obviously, they could become tamei. I mean, the child had to be born, so undoubtedly he was in contact with his mother, with Tamei the tumas leida, and then probably she was Anita at one point in their life and was nursing the baby. But as Tosfos points out, that's not the issue. Our issue is to avoid primarily tumat mate, because I mean that's the whole meaning of the parah, is that it's supposed to represent the opposite of death, and to avoid tumah ayotzei migufo. So in other words, any tumah which the individual himself, his own body creates the tumah, such as tumas keri, which is why we'd like to use prepubescent children to do the avodah of your bringing of the water for the para. As long as we can avoid both of those things, we're okay. So what they did is they brought children, they brought women, pregnant women, nevim nashim u'barot, the yoldot, and they had their children there in the special Ezrat Para hospital. And Magad Lot Sham Bnehem in the Noam Para Gan, and the children grew up there in those chatzeros, Umevim Shvarim, and then when they were old enough to be Mamale, the Mayim for the Kiddush of the Para, so they would bring these massive oxen, the Algabeim Dulatot, they would put down doors on the back of the ox for the children to ride on. The reason that they brought doors was because if they would bring planks and boards, then those boards would be miyuchet for sitting. The miyuchet for sitting, they would be makabel tuma, because now they're roy for the shiva, for tumas midras, the shiva maisha. They brought doors that were just being used temporarily for this. It would be put back on their hinges. And then the tinokot would be yoshvim aleihem, and they would be given kosot shel eben. Now, eben is not makabel tuma, so that's just an additional miles. These were like basically the bubble boys, the original bubble boys. They had to protect. In those days, they didn't protect from pollen, and they protected. They protected the children from tuma, not from pollen. Umiru, and then they went. They were mimale the water. Then they sat back down, and then we were able to have them travel back.
Is this a water for a new para?
Whenever we were doing Kiddush. No, whenever we do Kiddush, we always have the Eifra para. When we need new supplies of Kiddush, we remember it's concentrate the para. I mean, you just mix a little bit of water. And you've got yourself some new main yidah. Yeah, it's a nice job. I mean, listen, you got full social security benefits and so on. It had its advantages. It's as good as a moon colony. I mean, people dream about exploring the moon. I mean, it would be even more difficult. It's not the end of the world. And they talk about raising children on the moon. Nobody claims it's child abuse. I'd have to wear their spacesuits. I'd have to sit in the small, little.
Assume after they reach puberty, they make it
out. There you go. Over Rav Huna b'Reded of Yeshua. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "Look, I mean, as Rav Huna b'Reded of Yeshua, answer for him. I mean, that doesn't. We know that not. I mean, that's absurd. This whole thing is a little bit crazy. You have to admit. I mean, the whole point was the show. I mean, it's all showmanship, really. So it's mala osa b'pora. We're trying to do crazy things to be that everybody should. Of course, this is a major issue in pora that we've had many times because of the tzedukim and the whole question that we had to be metame b'davka in order to take the mitzvah levon shel tzedukim. There was a lot of the ambivalence that's built into the nature of Pora, that it's Matayr Gatvein, Matayr Gatvein, that goes all the way through the Pora, even the Rabbanans and so on. It's a very strange kind of thing, the Pora, that we're Badak and Matami, and we want to use somebody who would be Tomei, but it's Tfu Yom, because they're good. And then on the other hand, we don't want people to be Makil, so we're very Makra when it comes to Pora. This was part of that wild kind of show of the duality of the Pora. And it was not meant to, because we seriously had a chash of Kevrat HaHarim. We didn't have a chash, says Rabbi Yochanan. Fine. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan Taina to Reish Lakish. How can you say that there was ever a mabul in Eretz Yisrael? If it says that Ta'am Achad, we know in another brisa, that and there was one occasion where Matsu Atzamot Belishkat Gir Haitzim, they found once in the digging, they found bones, skeletal remains, in the Lishka, in the Azor, the Beis HaMikdash. Ubikshu Ligzor Tumal Yerushalayim. They wanted to be gozer. Well, if that's the case, then the Kedamites were burying people, but God only knows what's here. So they, huh?
So the Rashi. The Rashi Bari, the grasshoppers of the Raglin, Hashem said the plague. They were burying people left and right.
Oh, yeah. Gemara doesn't take that as any issue. Let's go use it to cemetery. So, Bitshu Ligza, Tumay Rishalayim, Omar Rabbi Yeshua Raglav. So, Rabbi Yeshua stands up. It's difficult to believe that this is the Rabbi Yeshua that's in the Mishnah, because he was the Talmud of Yochanan ben Zakkai, and Yochanan ben Zakkai was only Talmid in the last 40 years of his life, it was after the Korban, so it's probably another Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua is Emir al-Raglav. Yamar, what kind of this is out of hand, these Gezeres business over here. Lo bushaluch lima'ilanu, shenigzor tumal yirabotenu. What kind of nonsense is that? What are we supposed to be? Gezer tuman Yerushalayim now? I mean, people lost all sense of proportion. Ayin metei mabul, ayin metei Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, if people believe that there was no constant vigilance against Mason, I ask you, where are the dead from the mabul? What happened to the hundreds of thousands who died in the wars of the Korban? What about that? In Nebuchadnezzar's time. Obviously, we're very mocked about Mason over here. Now, I mean, the mob, but what do you mean they're very mocked about Mason? Well, who is mocked? The spaceman came and collected money. So obviously what he's trying to say is there was no marble. That's what he's saying. So Minutamarhafi, I mean, if that's what he said, says Rabbi Yochanan, Lavla Mema Dilo Habu, isn't he trying to say, clearly there were no dead from the marble here? Oh, I mean, so then you could say the same thing. I mean, well, time says Rishon Lakish, how you get Nebuchadnezzar off in Amil Habu? And what did he say? And where are the dead of Nebuchadnezzar? I mean, he certainly didn't mean that nobody was killed by Nebuchadnezzar. So Ella, what was he trying to say? Habu, obviously there were plenty of casualties. And what he's trying to say is panina, that over the course of time they've been moved away and there's no chashash anymore. So maybe that's the point of the marble. All he's saying is, look, everywhere else you can find the dead all over the place. Here in Eretz Yisrael, for hundreds of years, people have been being matir Eretz Yisrael, and there's nothing left. I mean, that's the shot. So how can Ami Havu Ufaninu? Says the Gemara, so then, what do I care? If you're ready, Rish Lakish, to agree that all the dead were removed, so it's the same thing as saying there were, so then why do we need the gods for the Torah? But it's the same Torah, so the Yavnu, if they did, so Yavnu, then they're gone, Yavnu. Says Rish Lakish, that's true, but remember that Rish Lakish was referring to the story, Rabbi Yoshua was referring to the Gezer Tumah of Yerushalayim. When Rish Lakish was talking about Chutz Migita, which is outside of Yerushalayim. So says Rish Lakish, now wait a minute, all it says over here is that Rabbi Yoshua said, Yir Avotenu was Mituhara. Now that doesn't mean the whole Eretz Yisrael was star. Doesn't mean that they moved out all of the Meisei marble from the whole Eretz Yisrael. So Nihi Be'ifnim Yerushalayim, Mikula Eretz Yisrael, Lo Yifnim. Now others learn that this was actually said by Rish Lakish, the Raya against Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rish Lakish said to Ikidiyame, he said to Rabbi Yochanan, if Rabbi Yoshua said, Ayeh Meitei Mabul, Ayeh Meitei Nebuchadnezzar, so obviously he wasn't saying there was no Mabul, he was saying, is this mine?
It is. Did you read it?
I read it, I'm amazed.
Very appropriate.
Everything but the B'nai Torah part. Yes, I know. And every shul that is named B'nai Torah that I know of is dangerous to walk into. In every community.
I wouldn't know
if
before that.
Personally,
I kind of like it.
So, Daf Yomi is yes. That part I accept. You know, because once you start identifying yourselves as we are the, it's very, very bad.
Normally, it doesn't say
that.
It's just
the B'nai Torah. Yeah. But the other shuls are not for the B'nai Torah. That's all. But it's marvelous. The picture of the daf and the Rashi and the Tesis is just fantastic. it even has the Ein Mishpat there.
No, but
albeit on the wrong side.
In Irish, we have the Marshal also.
Ah. So the way to read it this way is that Rish Lakish Taina's, if we put together Meitei Mabul and Meitei Nebuchadnezzar, it means obviously the same question. In the same way that, of course, there were Meitei Nebuchadnezzar, but they were moved. So there were Meitei Mabul and they were moved. No, my lab, Midahani Abu, Aninami Abu. Come on, Midiyari, that doesn't prove anything. Harkadit. Each one was a different point. Aye Meitei Mabul means, says Rabbi Yochanan, there was no Mabul over here. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu was boxed to make sure there was no dead here. And we're the Meitei Nebuchadnezzar. Look how careful we were to get rid of the Meitei Nebuchadnezzar. So that doesn't prove anything. So meanwhile, we have a standing machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan saying there was no Mabul in Eretz Yisrael. Rish Lakish saying there was. Eisa. Mikol Asher B'Chorava Meitu. Now, it says the Perish over here, says Rish Lakish. Everything died. So, why did everything die? B'shoim al-Adipi, Davina Yarad Mabul Eretz Yisrael. The way I understand it, there was a Mabul in Eretz Yisrael, so everything on the earth died. B'shoim al-Adipi, Meitu. But according to you, why did they die? Am I Meitu? No, says Rabbi Yochanan, they didn't die from drowning. They died Mishum Havala. They actually died from the heat. There was a lot of heat that was generated during the Mabul, as Reb Chista said. The Amr Reb Chista, Barotchin Kilkalu, Uberotchin Nidonu. Barotchin Kilkalu, this is it always appears with the full gear, says the Sheet of Rebbe. Barotchin Kilkalu, Beshichvat Zara, as it says, that all of the earth was Nishchat, Vishkat always means that they had done Hashkata, which is Maisim of Erva. So this was using Shikvat Zera, which is called Roteach. It's warmed. The water that wiped them out was also warm. And we know that Yishoku relates to heat, because it says V'chamat HaMelech Shachacha. Now that means that there was a lot of hot water that was generated during the Mabul. In fact, there's a Gemara elsewhere says that what was left from the Mabul are the hot springs all over and so on, so that we still get some pleasure from, that's of course similar to the Yin of Seifa, where there's always a little bit of good that comes out of these kind of things. So we still get our schwitzes. And but that would be enough to basically kill off the rest of the population. Even if they're not, if they didn't have a problem with drowning, they would always have a problem with the heat.
What happened
to the fish? Oh, we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about that here. Others say it was just the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan tied it to Reish Lakish from this pasuk. Nikola Sherba Charava. There was no Charava, according to you. What kind of Charava? The whole earth was covered with water. So there was no Charava? Why mention it then? So Vishnu did I mean a lawyer had Mabul Eretz Yisrael. Look, I say that the Mabul didn't hit everywhere. So there was Charava. The condition is that anyway, even though they were on the Charava, they were made to for other reasons. It was a mass extinction. But according to you, Shmuel, you have a karavah. You talk the way you're learning. So my karavah. There was no karavah. No, that doesn't. Doesn't mean now it's a karavah. It means what used to be karavah. That's a little bit silly. You know, I mean, it's teaching us something. I mean, well, why are you calling it karavah? Because it's coming to teach us that the fish didn't die. That's the point of it. Because I ship a karavah, all land animals died. That's what it means to say. Not all the things on land. There was no land at this point. So the karavada, my karavat Rav Chisda, Yom Rav Chisda, the Doram Mabul, lo nigzera gizera dadim shebayam, shenema mikola sheba karavah meitu, the lo dadim shebayam, which explains how we have nowadays gefilte the fish, because of the heat in the water. So we'll talk about the problem with the heat. So, if you hold that the Mabul, what is coming up is sort of a fun. As all the Mephoshim explained, none of this is meant to be taken seriously because it's all based on Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. And Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, we know, wasn't talking seriously in terms of actual events. So, he was talking about these remarks and he used all these weird. So now,
as a general rule, or in this context specifically?
No, all of Rabbi Bar Chana's wild stories, which you know about these enormous things and the, you know, the crazy events that happened to him, and the you know, hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu swearing and whatever, all of these different things on him are merumas, are merames, all types of there are a lot of Kabbalah issues are in that sugya. No, as everybody says, I mean, you got to be crazy to take any of this seriously. The problem is that this Gemara translates Rabbi Bar Bar Chana into problems with the mob. Some will actually say the Gemara is having fun. And the Maharal says that the Gemara is simply continuing the elements of Rabbi Bar Bar Chana into the questions of how they would affect the mob issues. That is, how does he relate the things that he was talking about? Because his metaphor was meant to be a serious metaphor. It needs to work all the way. So what would be the impact of that metaphor in a context of mob? And the Maharal goes through that, you know, analyzing the Midrashim on that level. So, but from this point on, we're certainly not being serious in the literal sense. So Bishlam Ilmanding, I'm not loyal at Mabul Eretz Yisrael. Hainu Zekam Rima. Where did the Re'im, how did the Re'im survive? Now, the Re'im, again, is this incredible animal, according to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, that's as big as Har Tabor, and so on and so forth. I mean, so there's no way that it could possibly have fit into the Teva. So where was the Re'im, is our problem. Well, I don't know. We know that the dinosaurs survived the Mabul. Maybe they didn't survive the Mabul. But the point over here is that it's very interesting. The whole place is that discusses whether the Re'im are buffaloes. And maybe buffalo is a small type of Re'im, because they used to call it a Re'im. But he proves that the, which is not to be confused, of course, with the American bison. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was not what he was referring to, obviously. He was talking about, yeah, real buffalo. So he says the buffalo, it's a riot. So he brings a riot that the it can be, because the Re'im is a chaya, because it's the targum of the Akodisha and so on is Rima, which means that, and the buffalo is certainly a behema, he says, and he proves that it gave it the Re'im, because the pasuk talks about could you work with a Re'im, and he says that we use buffalo all the time for pulling wagons and so on. So apparently it was a domesticated, or that was domesticatable, animal. But it's an interesting side note, this whole question about buffalo. But getting back to the Gemara, so where would the Re'im have survived? Now, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, so then the Re'im could have lived in Eretz Yisrael, where there was no Mavel, and being rather powerful and tall and so on was not that effective. We'll talk about what you're going to do about the hot water the other way. Raman Yomer Yarad Rima. If you hold that the Bible did come down to Eretz Yisrael, how did the Re'im survive? They took baby Re'im. Newborn Re'im, or maybe they cloned the Re'im. They just took a fetus or something. And then, yeah, exactly. The Amar Rabba Rabba Kona. Time is, but what about Rabba Rabba Kona? Rabba Rabba Kona says, "Ledidi Chazili or Zila the Rima Bat Yuma," that I saw there's a whole problem in the Gears of Yerzer, or Zila the Yama, which is what appears in the Gears of Rabba Rabba Kona, which Rashi follows over here. So it's a Re'im of the Yam. But that would be the equivalent of the Re'ima. But Rabbi Natam says it means the Ofer Ayalim, the Targum of Ofer Ayalim, and Ofer is the Yam, is the Urzila, the Ayala, in which case the Urzila, the Rima would be the correct, not the Yama, and it would mean the Ofer of the Re'im. Now, it was Bat Yuma, it was only one day old, just been born. And it was as big as Har Tabor. Now, Har Tabor, you know how big that is, if you don't look. It's Arboim Parsa. That's 40 Parsos. Mashka the Tzavori, now that the length of the neck of this little baby, was Tzalatza, but it was some baby, man. And that was 3 Parsaos, it's like 12 kilometers just at the neck. And Marbata Duresha, and this makes the Hulk look like a little feeding peanut. So Marbata Duresha, the area that its head would, to get through something, was a Parsal Palga. And this little baby, it didn't have no diaper on. And Roma Kova, Vesokha Yardana, and it dropped a little piece of dung into the Yarden, and it dammed up the whole Yarden River. So, I mean, this sure wasn't going to fit on the table. So, where in the world, what did Noah do with this rain?
Hilarious.
So, this is an example of
how out here these
stories actually are. Okay. Yeah. No, it's wild. Omer of Yochanan.
Two rains.
Yeah, that's two, exactly. That's right. Yeah, no, Shonen point that out. Rabbi Yochanan, Roshoik Nisalateba. Well, fit his head in. What do you mean they fit his head in? You just said his head is about a kilometer and a half. And how in the world is Parzul Palga? No, not Rosho. Rosh Chotmo, a little bit of his nostrils into the teva. That kept the air coming, so at least he could breathe. So basically, he had an air tube that went through the teva. But V'amar Rabbi Yochanan lo yarad mabel Eretz Yisrael. But wait a minute, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what do you mean he put it into the teva? I mean, there was no mabel. No, we're saying, according to Rabbi Lakish, the whole problem wasn't a problem according to Rabbi Yochanan. But how could he put his feeds air tube into the teva. If the teva was going up and down on the waves, I mean, what was this? This rain moving up and down every time you take a breath, up and down. I mean, the poor baby, you know, it would have been pulled out. It's feeding. I mean, it's air tube. It would have been pulled out.
Well, was it
pulled
on the other side?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Amar Reish Lakish. Well, of course, they had to tie the horns of the rain to the teva to make sure that its head would go up and down, and that way the feeding tube wouldn't be removed. So kainav kashru bateva. But what about the heat problem? Well, that's a problem, because Omer Chista Anshidor Amabo Barotzin gives a little Barotzin Nidono, in which case it was roasted. I mean, it was boiled. I mean, it's all very nice. It's got a feeding tube. What's happening to the rest of its body? No, but I mean, come on. If you mean, what do you think? That the whole, all the water was boiling out, so what happened to the poor teva? Teva hakisadya. I mean, how did the teva survive? I mean, not to mention all of this great pitch stuff that would have just heated up and would have rolled right off, and then all the waterproofing would have been wrecked. I mean, so well, what would you do with the waterproofing of the teva? Besides, what would have happened to Og Melech HaBashan? The poor Og would have been roasted. How did he, I mean, boiled. So how did he survive the C5 of marble? Ela mace na selam shenit stanano bitzidei ha-teva. Ela, clearly, the area around the teva was cooled, which allowed all the fish to survive too. I mean, otherwise, we'd have nothing but to build the fish.
For a space of global warming.
That's right. It says the Gemara, but according to Reish Lakish, I mean, Reish Lakish is claiming that we need, and now we're getting back to the serious here. According to Reish Lakish, he's claiming that we have a kashash of dead that are deep underground. But even Reish Lakish agrees that the dead of the Mavel never remained in Eretz Yisrael. So on is someone's kashash is v'halot pash. The bodies didn't remain behind, because Reish Lakish himself says, "Dama Reish Lakish lama nikrashma mitzula." Why do we find Babel being called the mitzula, the debts? Because shekol meite mabul nitzalalusha, everyone that had died in the marble ended up going, because after all, into the valley, which was Shinar. I mean, that's vayim tzuubika. So as the water gradually went down, everything sort of went down to the lowest point being Babel. So that would be where all the dead are, and there wouldn't be anything left. There wouldn't be anything left in Eretz Yisrael anyway. And he himself says that that's the reason why it's called Mitzula. Now, by the way, Rabbi Yochanan also agrees, but from another point of view, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's Lama Nikrashma Shinar. Shekol meite mabu nin arushan, roll down to Shinar, and according to him, the mason after all died from heat. I mean, the mitzula is the depths of the yam, mitzulas yam, and we do find it's referred to as litzula harbi, that what refers to Baba, the destruction of Baba. Well, because Yev Shadalo Idvakor, I understand maybe 90% of the bodies rolled down to Babel, but I mean, that's a lot of mud, and a lot, I mean, undoubtedly there was still a large number of bodies that had gotten buried underneath all of the muck, and that is still needs to be checked out before you can do the Pura in that place, and that's the gut of the Pura. Omer Abiyahu, Lama Nikra Shema Shinar, there's a more immediate reason why it's called Shinar. Shinar means that which always rolls around. You know why? Sheman Eret Ashireha. Anybody who gets rich in Babel is rolled right out. They roll the riches over there. And there ain't nothing left of their riches. What do you mean there's not? Well, because even the Haba, what do you mean? We know plenty of people that are old riches. Tlasadori, low mouse, it never lasts for three generations. You ever know anybody in Babel who's three generations rich? So, because the money is elsewhere, they didn't give tzedakah properly, didn't care about using their money properly. Amar Rami, kolo ochel mi afra shel Babel, kibo ochel besar avutav. Anybody who eats from Bavel, who eats the dirt of Bavel, gets any dirt in him, he's like eating the bodies. The whole place is made out of bodies. So it's like eating his forefathers. Shani Nami Hawking. Of course, the problem is that his forefathers wouldn't have had any children if they died in the model. Tani Nami Hawking. Which is why Rashi elsewhere says that, well, because the family used to bury people short, and it's because of the type of character that they have over there. But not good being forefathers in the broader sense, I mean, all of the generations before that. So it's, you know, it's cousins and great grandparents from before that had their offshoots. Tani Nami Hawking, yeah, also.
That's certainly true today. They burned the graveyards with all the bodies of Saddam.
So what about Europe? Sounds like Europe. This is
Europe. Yeah, same. Mm-hmm. I know my family won't eat any. Traveling through Europe, they won't eat any local food. So it's just all made out of blood and Jewish blood. Indeed, the Brisa says that. How about all of the other things? What about all the other species that rolled down there? I mean, it's all decayed organisms, and it's not minerals. It's bodies that you're eating. Now, the next thing that we had was the din of the Seir Mishtaleach. The Seir Mishtaleach is also not called Roy of Pesach HaOmer, just like the Korah Aduna. But the problem is that it says in the Brisa, it says that O Korban, which means that somebody is going to come there, continuing the Dinim Bechlal of Shchut Echutz. So somebody's bringing Korban, Olor Zevach, but Shomei Ani Apil Kachi Berek Abayich Niku Korban. I mean, couldn't we call something that was given for the Berek HaBayit, which would include even the Korah Aduma, no? That's the Nikra of Korban Hashem. When they were bringing the things to the Kedusha of the Mishkan, they called them Korbanos. So maybe that's also called a Korban Bachut. Talmud Lomar, El Petach Olam Moed Lo Eviyo. It has to be Ra'ui Lovo, El Petach Olam Moed. Which excludes Kodshei Berek HaBayit. Kodshei Berek HaBayit you can't bring to the Petach Olam Moed. Well, maybe Hotziyat Elushein and Ru'uyin. Maybe, okay, I understand Berek HaBayit is not. But how about the Seir Mishtaleach? The Seir Mishtaleach is certainly Ru'uy Lavo Petach Olam Moed. Oh, now wait a minute. Our Mishnah said that Seir Mishtaleach is not Ru'uy Lavo Petach Olam Moed. What do we do with this Brisa? Answers the Brisa, we need another pasuk. Talmud Lomar La Hashem. Lakriv Korban La Hashem. Meaning it has to be a korban that's miyuchad la'ashem, whereas the Seir Mishtaleach is not miyuchad la'ashem because it's actually being sent la'azazel. But that's not what our Mishnah says. True, but remember, I mean, there's kan kodem hagrala and kan li'acha hagrala. I mean, before we make the hagrala. So at that point, it has to be suitable la'ashem. You can only, as a matter of fact, make the Seir Mishtaleach if it was suitable to be the Seir Lashem. If that's suitable to be the Seir Lashem as a moon or anything else, then you can't, it's not even a kosher Seir Mishtaleach. So at that point, in fact, it would be Ro'uy Lavo LePesach HaOl Moed. That's what we're talking about over here. Wait a second, but even after the Hagramah, it is definitely still Ro'uy LePesach HaOl Moed. I mean, Pesach HaOl Moed doesn't mean you have to be makriv it. It means you have to bring it. You had to bring the Seir Mishtaleach inside to do the vidui. So it would still be Ro'uy LePesach HaOl Moed. So why does our Mishnah say it's excluded from the fact that it's not Ro'uy LePesach HaOl Moed after Hagrala? Yes, it is. Not only is it suitable, it's a chiyuv to bring it in. Oh, sorry, you're right. El Omer of Mani Lo Kasha. Kodem vidui. Tell me Acha vidui. Indeed, there are two separate issues. When we say it's not Ro'uy Lavo, I mean, yeah, that only means once the vidui is already over, now it has to be Mishlach. At that point, indeed, it's not Ro'uy Lavo. But before that, there is indeed a stage at which it's Ro'uy and Ener Chinoni. you would be chayev early on, before you had been miyakeded for the seyer, you would be a mukhliyev because of shoyel pesach kol amoy. And as the Gemara Yuma says, that there would be a dinner with a chutz at that early stage on the seyer mishtalaya. By the way, I wanted to tell you, I forgot yesterday. The truth is, I mean, I was insisting, God, I'm saving it for the end of the Sugya in the Gemara, and I'm afraid that I'm going to forget, and it's so beautiful to say. But we went through over here these stages of Yerushalayim, and the Bomas Yochid, and so on, you know. And it's very interesting. The Meshech Chochma has such a beautiful word. He brings the Machlokas we show him about the nature of Korbanos. So it is the famous Rambam who says that the nature of Korbanos is essentially to address the psychological needs of mammals that need something sensual and physical to be able to relate to God. And then, of course, the Ramban, who is, you know, goes wild over the Ramazim and after the Rambam say things like that, and each thing is meaningful and so on and so forth. Meshech Chochma points out that all of the unique dinim, the concept of the Mizbeach and Kihun and Chitui and whether you have Lamala Michutasikra, Lamata Michutasikra, all of these dinim that we went through, those things are not Nogea Bama. The only Nogea, the Makom Asher Bachar Hashem. So he points out there's two types of karbonas. There's the carbon that is brought on the Bama, which is clearly a personal need. That's why you can only bring personal karbonas on it. Those karbonas are indeed entirely Rambam-oriented karbonas, which is why once you reach the darga in which you're expected to act as a people that are miyachid themselves for Avodas Hashem in a Beis HaMikdash, that at that point you can no longer be asking this kind of nonsense. That indeed is childish. It was only necessary up to a point. Because otherwise, what do you mean? The Torah says something is good and it's nice, and then all of a sudden it becomes usur and terrible. And look at the psychological needs for the Bama throughout Tanakh. I mean, people would like to, you know, we give up Avodah Zarah, give up, but not the Bama. I need to have God close to me. I mean, it was like the biggest Avodah. Rak HaBamot Lo Saru. Again and again and again, this is the refrain throughout the Navi. Couldn't get rid of those Bamas because they were so personal. Mashain came, what the Ramban is referring to, and so on, is the level of karbon that adds all of these protein din, and that's something that is about Mashiach Bochar Hashem, that's all new. We're over there. The Aveda revolves around the Bokam of Bria. It has to do with the whole concept of being Mala, all of the products of life from the place in which the earth is being used. It gives you a whole vision of the process of evolution, of where it is that humanity comes from, and so that's a whole different issue. They're not even the same things. And it's very interesting because the Rambam talks about the nature of Aveda in Mishneh Torah in the early part of Avraham Avinu's life, where at that time, prior to mitzvahs and so on, that's where he says that Avraham Avinu needed to justify Karbonas psychologically. So he says, okay, and he said, you know, okay, so you could do these rituals because otherwise it's just not going to stick. Your children will end up becoming religious and they'll go to some church, so I might as well provide you some alternative or it isn't going to work. But it was only a psychological ploy, but that's only at that point. He told us Derek Avedasa, then there really is a Derek Avedasa. This is Mamish two stages. Beautiful. I mean, Meshech Chochma doesn't bring that point, I'm adding that, but in Vayikra, in the beginning of Vayikra, he talks about the Karbanos. I just thought it was beautiful. Rav Kook actually has an analysis of three stages, because he talks about the difference between the Matseva stage, which would say that the Gemara was all of the Meha Abbas. Then I thought, well, couldn't stand the Matseva. Then came the Baba, and then came the Mizbeach. And he talks about the difference in Matseva. People can stand around, and it's sort of like a, you know, there's any, but it's open to anybody, so concept of Mechitza. And he builds up slowly from there. But it's just interesting that there's a recognition that there are indeed different levels Just like in all things, it happens. There's different aspects of ourselves that are addressed by Avodas Hashem. There's the very primal things that are subconscious, and there's physical things, and then there's the kavanas, and the way in which we relate to it philosophically, conceptually, and the way it changes our minds. But here, you can actually separate out in the paradigm of Aveda, which is the kavanas. You can separate out the various elements into different stages and different modes, which is, you can't do that like with an esrog, you know. And if an esrog is going to speak to you psychologically, it'll speak to you physically, sensually, it'll speak to you conceptually, all at once. There's those separate bits of an esrog that only speaks to your subconscious, you know. And here it's mamish three different levels. It's fascinating that's what you would expect. If I asked you, where would you look to find the elements of Aveda broken apart? In Aveda, the essence of Aveda. So Aveda is in the Karbanas, right? So it would be that place where you would expect to find the detailed, layered elements of how Aveda works for a person. I just thought it was so beautiful. I was afraid I was going to.
So which part of the Aveda that were specifically the lower level means?
What?
Which parts of the Aveda are specifically here?
Well, you see, it's very interesting that when you say lower and higher, there's two ways of looking at that. In other words, are your subconscious psychological needs lower or higher?
Okay.
And that's not so partial, because there's a lot of people that work on a conceptual level, and yet nothing ever changes. It's all intellectual.
Right.
Now, they think they're working on a very high level. The truth is that they're working on a very superficial level.
Right?
It's the deeper levels are what change the person. They address things and he's not even aware of changing within him. And other people will see it. Will see changes that he won't even recognize.
So which are the things he didn't recognize?
He was saying, and I'm not saying that's the be-all and end-all, but his brilliant insight is that a Burma addresses the psychological and the sensual. Maybe drives, psychological drives, the father imagery, things like this, that are involved in religious worship. Whereas the other elements talk about things that are more conceptual and understand where you come from. I don't think it's that easy to break it apart, but on a simple level, that's a fantastic insight.
Okay.
What's
the website of the young man who kind
of this space that Medrash is named after, Amir.